Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. First, giving honor to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to, first of all, thank the body, my church family, for allowing me to come before you and preach again and speak to you again. That matters a lot to me. It means a lot to me. More importantly, I want to thank Pastor Will for giving me the opportunity again to stand before the people of God one more time. I have learned over the years that the two Sundays that the pastors that I've known in my life since I've been in ministry, the two hardest Sundays to surrender is the last Sunday of the year and the first Sunday of the year. So Pastor Will, I thank you for surrendering the pulpit to me this first Sunday of this year. So that means a lot to me. I thank you for sharing this time or allowing me to share this time with the people. So again, thank you so much, Pastor Will, for opening the pulpit for me in Jesus' name. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. So it's good to be in, even though I'm home, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I know the Spirit of God is here as it is with you there. Amen. Please forgive my little voice. It's a little scratchy, but I'm going to do my best. Just pray for me as I come before you with the word of God. Now, this passage that I have right now is an interesting passage. Brother Tim last week, when he started with his sermon, brought a sermon topic that was so unique to the point to where I have the same sermon topic. My sermon topic is exactly his. What's in a name? But my direction is slightly different. And I pray that as I proceed with this word, that there is an understanding that you gain, there is knowledge that you gain, and there is direction that you gain. Because this word spoke to me. And it made me look at myself, not only myself, but the lives of people, or how people's lives can be impacted by their life choices, their decisions, and how they manage their lives. So the scripture I would like to use this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 22. In the book of Luke, chapter 22. And then we'll be reading just a few verses. Starting with verse 31, all the way down to verse 34. If you have it, say amen. Verse 31 is where I'll start. And it reads, I hope it's on the screen as well, so you can see it as well as hear it. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto the Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both unto prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this word. There was a song that that we used to hear over the airwaves. The song was by Vicky Winans. I'm not going to read all the words to this song, but just the last few words, if you don't mind. She goes on to saying, we need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word from the Lord that will move all the doubt and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. And that's my desire today, that we hear a word from the Lord, that we may hear something that we may have missed, overlooked, or not seen at all. And sometimes in our reading of scripture, sometimes we can miss the emphasis of a word, the power of a word, just because we want to just glean or just glance over the word. Sometimes in our reading, We won't see the emotion, the power of the word. We won't see the desire of the word, but we'll just see a word on a page and we'll just keep reading. Yeah, it's good to read. It's good to take the time to find the time to read, but then there comes an understanding that follows with reading. And in this passage, I thought it was very interesting how it started out, verse 31 through 34. Now, verse 31, he started off by saying the word or the name Simon. So I'm going to play with that for a little while, if you don't mind. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, these four authors, disciples, if you will, walked with Jesus, right? Saw the miracles, heard all the sermons on the mount and Beatitudes and all the things that they were able to hear Christ say and do. They saw all the things, heard all the things, experienced all the things that 12 people could listen to. Is that right? But knowing that each gospel has its own story, its variation from one to the other, but yet there's some similarities also in these stories. And the point that I would like to really talk about today is Jesus' interaction with Peter. And in each gospel, you will see how each disciple was handled, or let's say how they were involved with Christ in the gospels. But this one person in particular stands out to me, and that's Peter. Now, in the book of Luke, again, we find in this passage that Jesus was talking to Simon, trying to gain his attention. Now, we understand that the name Simon is just a name, right? So why should we be concerned about the name Simon? Well, as our brother Tim preached, what's in the name? And as I am preaching today, what's in the name? I think there are some interesting points that may need to be brought to your attention, or at least made clear. Now, we know that in each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter was sometimes called Simon, and Simon was sometimes called Peter. Sometimes the name was used together, Simon Peter, right? But in John and in Matthew, there are two familiar positions, or less, two familiar incidents that we need to emphasize. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 42, when Jesus first met Simon, I think in John, Andrew brought Jesus to Simon, right? And when he was face to face with Simon, Jesus, he called him Cephas, which means rock. He didn't call him Peter. He called him Cephas. That's important. But also now, when he called him Cephas, to me, it was like an introductory or a calling, if you will, to maybe a future opportunity or plan that he had for Simon. Not really going into a deep explanation, he just called him Cephas, which means rock. I thought that was interesting. But when you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says to Simon, after Simon's declaration that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost revealed that to you. And as a result of that, you shall be called Peter, which was now a confirmation to who he would become. He was no longer going to be a fisherman, but a fisher of men. There was a destiny that was attached to his name. There was a destiny, a promise, a purpose that Christ was unveiling to him, that he will become something so pivotal in the life of Christ and for Christians. But let me digress a little bit, if you will. Now, we know that Peter was being prepared for a moment in time in his life. But before we get to the particulars of that, I want to go back to the story that's ahead of the verses that I just read to you, starting with verse 14 in the book of Luke, chapter 22. Now, in order for Peter to become the person that he needed to become, there were some things that first he had to face. There were some things he had to go through. There was a trial. There was a temptation. There was a failure, but there was a promise. Now, in verse 14, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, it starts off with them sitting at the table. And this is the Lord's final meal with the disciples. We call the Last Supper. Now, from verse 14 all the way down to 31, right, we see Christ talking to the disciples about his betrayal, okay, what he was going to suffer, and his eventual crucifixion. Now, what took place next at the table was interesting to me. Now, while they were sitting there listening here, after they'd taken the bread and after they'd taken the wine that represented the blood and the bread represented his body, and after he, Christ, began to tell them what he was going to go through, instead of them being involved with that, right, they became beside themselves. If you look at verse 24, the Bible says, and there was strife at the table. Strife, that word strife means that they weren't quiet or calm. They were not, chilling and sitting back and saying to one another, are you the one that's going to, you know, mess with him? Are you the one that's going to, you know, turn him in? Are you? No, the table became loud. The table became agitated. The table became as at a point where they were arguing one to another about not only who was going to betray him, but who would be greater. Who would be the greatest one? Who would lead the pack? Who would be the man, so to speak, right? Now, you have to understand, let me put a little paint on this canvas, if you will. You have to understand at this table that there was no one sitting with their arms crossed thinking, well, I'm just here to eat and drink and maybe hear some good things. No, they were wondering what's next for their lives after Jesus shared with them his future, his plans, and what was going to happen to him. Okay? So now, if you just bear with me and just use your imagination, please. So while the table was up in a roar, there was strife. They were going back and forth, words being shared one to another about who should be the greatest, why you're going to die, and where are we going with this situation. Somebody had to take control of the table. Someone had to be responsible and make sure we get this thing back in the direction where it needed to go. So that was Jesus, right? So you got everybody pointing one thing at another. So I can see Jesus raising his hand and saying, wait a minute, Simon, Simon. Now, you can't tell me that if you were at a family dinner, people sitting around eating a wonderful meal, right? Everyone's complimenting the cooks, what was prepared. But then someone brings up either a condition, either a disappointment, something that would cause a conversation to fervor at a table. And ultimately, the question would come up, why, when, what, where, and how? And then how the conversation is handled after that at the table. Someone has to bring the table back to some sense of normality, back to a place where it needs to be pointed at, appointed to, or at least understood. And this is where Jesus was with his 12 disciples. While they were going back and forth as who would be the greatest, why you got to die, Jesus lifted his hands and said to Simon, not to the 12, but to Simon. He said, Simon, Simon. Now, I find that to be very interesting. Why couldn't he have said, wait a minute, y'all, I would like to speak again? No, he said, Simon, Simon. So what's in the name? I find that interesting how he just said, Simon, Simon. So what is it about Simon that we needed to understand? That's his name. That's what he was called, right? If not called Simon, he was called Peter, correct?
True.
But remember something. There was something about this moment that Jesus was able to recognize about Simon that we need to clearly understand. What do you mean? In the Gospels, Jesus had his interactions with different people. Is that right? There was this one time he met a woman at the well, not knowing who she was, not knowing her name, but yet he was able to tell her of some things about her life without her even mentioning one thing for the other. That means he was able to perceive something about her life, being a prophet that he was, knowing everything about his life, being the Christ and Savior that he was or is, but he was able to tell this woman everything about her life without her spilling the beans. Is that right? So, taking this conversation back to verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon. So what is it about Simon that we need to understand at this time that he would only say his name? Now, at this point in time, we need to understand Simon was already walking with Christ. His life had already been converted, if you will. His life has already been in sync with the things that God was doing, not only with them, through them, but for them, right? But you have to remember, when Jesus said, Simon, Simon, he wasn't speaking to the converted Simon or to the converted Peter. He was talking to the former Peter. You got to remember, before you were saved, there was a former life that you had. Before you were saved and knew Christ, and Christ knew you and the pardon of your sins, there was a former self, which was called the old nature. Jesus was speaking to the old nature of Simon, not the converted Peter, but the old nature, which that was Simon. In other words, he was saying, let me talk to the old nature. Because see, you were quick to have an attitude. You were quick to have a word. You were quick to have something going on that didn't line up with my will. The Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So that means everyone in this room, under the sound of my voice, you were not all saved. There was a time in your life where you did things that were totally contrary to the will of God. There was no knowledge of God in your life. There was no desire to serve God in your life. But one day, thank God that he reached down and saved you, that he reached down and changed your life, that he reached down and converted you. He reached down and filled you with his presence, his power, his name, his will. So who was Jesus speaking? He was speaking to the former self. He was speaking to the old man, Simon. I need to get your attention, Simon. I need to remind you that where you are and who you are, Simon, you don't need to fall back into the things that you once were. I brought you from the depths of hell. He was talking to Simon, the old Simon. Talk to the old nature. How many times we find ourselves from time to time experience the old nature? How many times have you been driving a car and you're in traffic, right? And someone cuts you off. Immediately, things come to mind. You're challenged right there for that split moment, for that instant, to whether you would say something coarse or you would say, God bless you. So you're challenged. The old man seems to always want to seep up and show himself dominant in your life. Paul says, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. So we know we're challenged from time to time with the old nature, the old things that seem to surface up in our lives. How many times you've been at your job and somebody said something offensive to you? Someone called you out your name or criticized you or said something to you that make you want to snap and be a different person with different words and different attitudes and different things that you may want to say. Jesus was talking to the old nature, trying to get Peter or Simon to realize where he was at the time he said, Simon, Simon. So we need to be careful about who we are and how we are positioned in Christ. To them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there's no reason to fall and trip and fail. But yet if you fall and if you trip and if you fail, he's able to pick you up. Able to do exceedingly abundantly by whatever God has called you to do. He has called you to be exactly what he has designed you to be, strong and empowered, for greater is he that is in you. Even if you fall down seven times, the scripture reads, you still get back up. The wicked man fall down, but the Bible doesn't give him an opportunity to get up. He stays down. But the righteous, when he falls seven times, what happened? He gets right back up. Amen? So we got to be careful about this old nature. The old nature that seems to rear its ugly head in certain times and issues in your life. When you get angry, sometimes your anger overwhelms you and you find yourself thinking things that you shouldn't think of. That's your old nature sometimes, trying to well up in you, trying to bring you back to the place where you once were. Is that right? Sometimes a heated argument, confronted with a dispute, right? You sometimes routed in pride and reoccurring themes keep coming back up into your life. I don't know what God has brought you through. I don't know where you've been, but sometimes, as they say, your past seems to follow you. But that's all right. You're not overcoming. You are an overcomer. You're not overcame, but you are an overcomer. Amen? Excuse my voice. Sometimes the old man has a nature about itself. Is that right? We need to understand that there's a nature about the old man that we need to question. Bear with me, I got to find my notes. Sometimes the old characteristics of an old nature is a self-centered individual, a rebellious individual, and a person who walks in somewhat enmity all the time, a person who finds an opportunity to be corrupt, a person who's always debating or arguing with spiritual things. An old man who seems to have not allowed him to transfer into a better life, into the life that God is calling you to walk in. That's what the old nature sometimes can do. And Jesus was talking to Simon and saying, I need to talk to the person that I delivered you from. I need to talk to the person that when I found you, you knew nothing. You didn't know anything. But now that you know me in the pardon of your sins, now that your life has been changed, now that I've given you a promise, a purpose, and a destination, I need to bring you back to the place where I called you to be, formed you to be, and purposed you to be. I like Tim's testimony he gave when he was in a situation where there was a car with occupants in it that was bothering him. And instead of him allowing the old nature, the old man, to respond to them, he was able to walk in the maturity that is in Christ, that is in him. And sometimes we need to be in that same position to walk in that maturity that he has brought us to, a place where he has brought us to, the boldness that he has placed within us. But here's the thing that really stands out. When Jesus said, Simon, Simon, he made it clear to not only to Simon, but also to the disciples. He said, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. Now, this is interesting. The story that we seem to always want to entertain about Satan causing an affliction on someone is always the story of Job. But that's not the only story or the person that God gave Satan permission to torment. Peter, Job, and there are other subjects. But my point I'm trying to make is that when he said Satan wants to, see, we don't have to allow to let him in. We don't have to let any thought, any mannerisms, anything that we feel that we can fall back into be a reason to react. He said, Satan wants to come in and destroy you. He wants to come in and shake up your life. He wants to come in and take every promise that I've given you, every purpose that I've given you away. So all I'm trying to say today and this morning is, because I'm not trying to go into my other part of the sermon, is that as we see this story, as we hear this word, remember, there is a part of you that needs to be under control. There's a part of you that needs to be you to be delivered from. There's a part of you that needs to be dealt with in a way to where the Holy Spirit is greater in your life than the former things of your life. I can only speak for myself. I have not always been saved. I ran the streets. I was a big man in the streets, but that's beside the point. But when God saved me, those former things became less in my life. Those former things were not as important anymore, because God was able to give me a greater life, a better life through Christ Jesus when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. All things, there were things that fell off, and all these things that became new. I was a new creation in Christ. I was a person who did not have to walk in the darkness, my former life and my former ways, but I was able to walk into a promise and a purpose that he has called me to be. He changed my name in the process of changing my life. I'll go into that later. So the sum of this story is that sometimes when we're reading a story, sometimes we miss certain key points of a story. In verse 14, he began to talk about his life, his death. But in verse 24, he talked about the strife that was at the table. But yet in verse 31, he brought everything back home where it needs to be. I'm trying to tell you that in your life, as you walk in Christ, make him your first choice. Make him your best choice, and not allow the old man to be dominant in anything that you say or do. We are living epistles. All right. We are the light to the world. We are the salt of the earth. If anything that people should see, they should see the fruits of the Spirit in your life that's listed in Galatians 5. We should walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. I want to close by saying, I hope I made sense. I hope this made sense to you. The name Simon was the former life. But the name Peter was the promised and purpose life. So when you read the Bible and you read in the Gospels and you read in Simon's names in there, notice that that's his former life. That was his humanity. That was the person of his former self. But when God called him and gave him purpose, he changed not only his life, but his name and his destination. Such as God has changed your life and your name and your destination. So I just want you to realize and know that in this story, although we see the turmoil, although we see the indifference, although we see the things that go back and forth at the table, God Christ was able to bring things back to the center, back to the point, back to him, saying that even though at this time and moment, you may not see the glory that I am, you may not see the purpose that I have to complete, I have to drink this cup, you may not see all these things because of your selfishness, because of your own personal intent, because of what you think one thing should happen from another, I'm here to tell you, this is what you need to understand. That your life, your former life, no longer matters to you, should have no direction in your life, should have no purpose in your life. That Simon in you need to be removed. That Simon in you need to find another place to reside. That Simon in you should not rule or reign or have any jurisdiction in your life. For you're now, your name is Peter. You have purpose, you have promise, you have direction. So I want to encourage you today. I want to stop right here. I want to encourage you today. I hope this made sense to you. The old man is gone. You are now a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away, all things have become new. Do not allow the former things of your life reside in your attitude, your mind, your heart, or your will. Because sometimes it can cause you to miss the very blessing that he's trying to give to you, that you may walk in that power and that might and that strength, that you may be the person that he's called you from the wilderness to the promised land to be exactly what he wants you to be. Being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in things in the word of the Lord. So I want to thank Pastor Will for allowing me to stand before you. I pray that in my expression that something was given. Now, before I relinquish the microphone, there are some scriptures that talks about the old man and the complications that it brings. You have Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. In your time and in your reading, I pray that you would just look up those scriptures and see them for themselves. And I pray that this has blessed you as much as it blessed me in my study. Believe me, there's more to this that I would like to say, but I'm going to save that for next Sunday, because I feel the latter part of this has a little bit more to say as opposed to what I just shared with you today. But anyway, not to take any strength from the word, I just want to, I pray and hope that you were blessed by this, and I pray that there was an understanding provided. So thank you for this time.
Do we have any questions or comments?